as a brand, it's really important to be willing to share your experiences and share what's successful and what's not successful and be really open about that. And that's been a big guiding factor in how we've chosen to do business.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and purposes. A mindful business adopts, employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. We have with us Tony Peel and Caroline Fisher, co-founders of Swahili Coast. Welcome to both of you on Mindful Businesses.
Hi, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, tell me something about your product. What do you sell? What do you make? Tell me something about your brand.
So our brand is Swahili Coast. Swahili Coast specializes in beadwork sandals and accessories out of Tanzania in East Africa. We are the partner organization with a worker-owned co-op in Tanzania, and so we act as their marketing arm in the U.S.
How did you land up in Tanzania? And my geography about Africa is pretty rusty, so I'm assuming that there is a coast, Swahili, which is part of Tanzania. Right.
Yeah. Sorry. You're fine. Don't worry. That's actually a really common question that we get. And it's an opportunity that we always see to explain our story and tell the story of East Africa. So we're in East Africa. That's where we do business. We're in coastal Tanzania. Swahili Coast as a term is a geographic term. It refers to the part of East Africa where people speak Swahili as their first language. And so that encompasses southern Somalia, coastal Kenya, coastal Tanzania, and northern Mozambique. Recently, Swahili has become like a really popular language in East Africa. It was like a big part of like the nationalist projects of Kenya and Tanzania. And so it's a big part of East African identity. So we started this project while we were actually living in Tanzania. I actually got a research grant to go through the U.S. government and, after college. And so Caroline was then my college girlfriend, now wife. We moved to Tanzania in 2013 to run an economic study with the University of Dar es Salaam, which is like the big coastal university in coastal Tanzania. And it was a really profound experience. We had a really good experience living over there. And we were at a juncture where we could either work professionally in the development world or do something on our own. And we had a really good look at what it looks like to work in the world of like economic development in East Africa and still have a lot of respect for the folks that work in that field, but we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we decided to start our own company to work directly with folks in Tanzania on something they do well and help them try to promote their product in the U.S. And East Africa has a lot of really incredible, rich traditions of beadworking. They come from a lot of different regions in Tanzania. And one of the big outgrowths of those beadwork traditions is the beaded sandal industry. Beaded sandals are a big part of fashion in East Africa. If you're in the cities, you'll see ladies wear them as part of fashion. And there's already a really exciting tradition that grew out of those older beadwork traditions. And so we thought there was a lot of potential in working with folks to help market that sandal in the U.S. And so we incorporated in 2014 to tell that story and start marketing in the U.S.
Well, where did you both grow up? And it must have been a big change to go to another country. And do you either of you speak the language?
Yes. So Tony is a very proficient Swahili speaker. We both grew up in North Carolina, and we're actually based in Wilmington, North Carolina. But we both grew up in the South, and Tony studied abroad in Tanzania in college and just fell in love, kept getting opportunities to go back and learn Swahili, and it all just went from there.
What were the challenges that you faced in sourcing? It couldn't have been very easy. It's a pretty big country, right, Tanzania?
Yeah, Tanzania is a really big country. So when we were doing sourcing, we had a couple of different ideas when we were first starting out. We didn't have a ton of capital. We were just, you know, folks coming off of like a government research grant. So it wasn't like we could just jump in and like by a factory, right? That wasn't really in the cards. And so what we did was we focused really hard on design. We designed sandals that worked within the folks that we were producing with skill set, but that we could market in the US. And we met with a few producers in the region to find someone that could produce sandals for us. And our first partner producer is someone that we're still close with, but is a like mid-size like sandal factory that's owned by a family of folks in Dar es Salaam. And that was a partnership we had for about 2 years. We wanted to do business with them well. And so what we did was we developed our relationships directly with the workers, and we were able to like monitor working conditions, and we developed like a bonus structure so that folks that were making our sandals like got like a significant hefty bonus that was equivalent to about 1.5 times the normal wage that they would normally receive just for making local sandals. And that relationship went well. We had a good run with them, but ultimately we found that there were some challenges in working within a group that was managed very heavily from the top down. There was some challenges in that some of our bonuses weren't always making it directly to the workers. And so we shifted things up and we were paying money directly to the workers. And then suddenly the bonuses paid directly to the workers created a little bit too much tension between the management and the workers themselves. And so we didn't feel like we could guarantee that our continued presence working with them was going to be like a positive one in the long term. And so what we did was we organized a group of the mm-hmm. folks that were working there in the sandal factory. And we basically just made a guarantee to them that we would help cover the cost of them starting their own workshop that would be 100% worker owned and 100% worker managed. And at that point, we'd actually sold enough sandals to where we had some capital to throw at that group. And so that's what we did, that we started that, helped start that group in 2015. And we've been working with them ever since.
Do you own that facility or they own it, but you guarantee a minimum?
We have no ownership stake and they have no obligation to work with us. So the entire relationship is built around continued success of us marketing their products in the US. So if, for example, they want to negotiate with us for wages or for prices for materials or whatnot, they can do that in good faith and they can refuse our orders. And that was something that a relationship that we set up because we had a lot of leverage there. Like we had the capital, we had the money, but we believe in this idea that like worker-owned production is the future of ethical manufacturing. And so we thought that was the right thing to do. And we've stuck by that.
How long does it take to make a pair of slippers? The beadwork is all handmade, of course. How long does it take to make a pair? Or, you know, in a month, how much would you be able to make approximately?
Yeah. So the sandals range very heavily depending on the style. Some of our really simple styles can be done in about 30 minutes. The beadworking is very quick. And some of the pairs take about 8 hours, and the pricing reflects that. The last audit we did, we were reviewing numbers, and the base level folks that are working in the co-op are making about the same level of income as the factory managers, like the floor managers at the sandal factory down the street. Mm-hmm. And the top end folks are making more than we were paying our lawyer in Tanzania when we incorporated.
In your case, it seems that you are making a deliberate attempt to provide fair wage, fair treatment, to be able to negotiate the business. Though you are technically probably buying bulk of their products, you could be in a commanding position. But you, from what I hear, you believe in the fair wage and the fair treatment of your artisans.
Absolutely. There's certainly, I mean, we're not pretending like there isn't a certain amount of leverage just by virtue of the fact that we are a large customer for them. But it has been exciting to see as we've been able to grow the business in the US. We were originally only buying about 30% of their output, I think. That's probably about right. And now we're buying close to 80% of their output. And we still pay a premium for all of our products versus what their customers regionally in East Africa are willing to pay. So during that time, you know, we've really seen a lot of wage growth within the co-op, which is exciting. And it also means that the co-op has been able to grow significantly. So rather than folks continue to just work more and more, a lot of what folks have encouraged is their family members and friends in the neighborhood to get involved and learn this skill. And so when the co-op started, it was about 15 people, and now it's 34. So it's growing really quickly, which is exciting to see.
And if I could also just speak to your question, I also think a big motivating factor in why we chose to do this product is that we hear a lot from brands that ethical business is the future. We hear from folks that say you can change the world with the money that you spend on your clothes or your shoes. And I hear those claims and I feel good about myself, but I also have somewhat of inherent skepticism about some of those claims. And so a big part of this project is for us and for our motivations is that we don't have all the answers and we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. And that was, we were really open to hearing from folks about, you know, their experience working in the sandal factory. And that's part of why we reorganized and helped start the co-op. I think that as a brand, it's really important to be willing to share your experiences and share what's successful and what's not successful and be really open about that. And that's been a big guiding factor in how we've chosen to do business.
So how do you monitor the quality? And most of your designs are repeated. So since it's handmade, do you fly often? Do you have a person there? Do you have like a foreman?
Yeah, we do have a full-time production manager.